I grew up here going to Eastwood, and then I moved off to college in Natchitoches, but, you know, I've been around. Anyways, Brother Jeremy said something earlier during the prayer time about someone asking, who is Jesus? And I think that it was in college whenever I started realizing there are people all over the world who have never even heard the name of Jesus, and that just broke my heart. And God gave me a huge desire to maybe cross those cultural boundaries and go meet people who have never heard of Jesus and be able to be used to give them access to the gospel. Anyway, so that's where I headed. He laid Niger, Africa on my heart out of all the places. So I went last year in August. I left and went to West Africa to teach at International Christian School. And so this picture is me meeting some of the parents of the students. And it was a crazy time, fun year. We had a good time. But my heart was still for the people, the unreached people who haven't ever heard of Jesus. And God is awesome, obviously. And he gave me plenty of opportunities to go in the community and meet kids and women and just a lot of people who have never heard. And it was really, really cool. But God was also doing something that I didn't know. Him. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so one night I went out to dinner with some friends, and there were some other people there I didn't know, and this guy was sitting across from me, and I don't know, we started talking, and he's a cool guy. His name's Justin.
My name is Justin. I'm from Jersey. God started speaking to my heart about a few years back. No, that's just a joke. I don't actually talk like that. so my name is Justin. I am from New Jersey, and God really started working in my heart a while back, but he started laying missions on my heart, and just different people, just like what she said, unreached people. And so one of my friends had challenged me, hey, how about you start praying for this specific country, and then, you know, just get as much information as you can, research about it. And so I took that challenge, and God just started burning my heart for these people. Through prayer, he gave me a love for these people to the point of, all right, I'm heading out. And so what we did, we got out there, and we started this kids club where I had invited her to.
Yeah, so that night at the dinner, he and his friends invited me to come to this kids club. So I went that Saturday, and I went every Saturday after that because, you guys, it was amazing. Kids just ran into the gate. It was their own gates. They ran into their house, the outside part, and just came in screaming. We were singing songs. They were tackling us. Boogers everywhere. Disgusting. But it was great because these kids just desire to be loved. In the culture, the kids aren't really loved. And so we were able to just hold on to them and tell them that Jesus loves you. We sang songs, just shared the gospel. The gospel was preached every time these kids came. So it was really, really cool experience. And I've loved Kids Club.
And so another thing that we've kind of opened up to the community is we're currently building this youth center. And with that, we want to bring these kids in and teach them skills like art, music, sports, all these different things where they can come into this youth center and then have the gospel just pour out into them. And so that's what we're working on currently. It should be done. September 19th is the planned grand opening. So we're really excited about that. And another thing on the top picture, you see a team of us praying. And we know that God is doing the work. It's God's power. And so we're just kind of saying, all right, God, we need you. We can't do this on our own. So we meet every morning to pray at 7 a.m. and just trusting God that he's going to save souls. He's going to bring these kids in.
And through that faithful prayer, the church was planted in Kwarateji, which is where Justin lived and where we'll continue to work after we return. The Church of Kwarateji was started basically just by his team meeting every week, breaking bread together and praising God. And then believers, national believers, that's the Nigerians, started coming. And as it began to grow, they're like, all right, well, let's establish this as a church. And so now we meet in the yard of someone's home. And locals are being trained up as leaders for this church.
And when God is working, we know that Satan isn't too far behind. And we saw a lot of persecution with the church. And there was, on January 17th, basically every church in the capital city and a little bit outside the capital was hit, and they were destroyed, they were burned. And that's just another picture of what these believers held to. They knew that this was foretold. Jesus said that there's going to be persecution, there's going to be trials, and that this didn't catch them off guard, and that they knew that this is only going to bring God more glory and his church is only going to grow through this. And so it was so cool being a part of that and just seeing God's faithfulness in it and his protection in it. And, you know, he gets all the glory out of this. And we always say the enemy made a really big mistake that day.
So this was just a big overview of some of the things that God is doing there in Niger and how we're able to be blessed to see it. But if you would like to know some more about what we have been doing and what we'll continue to do when we return in September, you can come. I put August 2nd. That's wrong. It's August 9th. Sunday night, we're going to be talking more about it. But today, we wanted to use the opportunity. Justin's going to bring the word. So I'll give it over to my fiance. Thanks, guys.
Okay, Ralph Paul Frape. Isn't she lovely? All right, how about I just pray real quick? God, I just thank you for your love for us. Holy Spirit, we pray that you come and work in our hearts and that we would see Jesus more clearly this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm going to talk about making Jesus Christ known among the nations. And so I started like thinking about this. All right, what am I going to share with you guys? Wasn't quite sure. And then God just laid this passage in my heart where it's kind of weird. You wouldn't think of it as like a making God known among the nations passage, but I think there's something so important in this passage that is essential for anyone thinking about going into the field or just anyone who wants to love and serve Christ here in Houghton, here in Shreveport, wherever, that this truth is essential. And so could you just turn with me to Mark chapter 1? And I'm just, if you guys have your Bible, I don't have a PowerPoint or anything. Mark chapter 1, and we are starting in verse 32, all the way down to 39. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next town, so that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. So guys, just like take a picture of this. You have this small little house. Jesus and his disciples are in there. And it says the whole city is gathered there. Now when I try to picture this, I think of the time when we try to hand out these gifts to the locals in Niger. And it's really hard to hand out gifts there. Like, they really don't have much. And so if you're going to hand out anything, you'll have at least 20, 40, 100 people gather in a few seconds. And so we start handing out these gifts, and I would say probably about 10% of the whole city was there, but there were a ton of people. They were at our gate, banging on the gate, saying, "Where's my gift? Where's my gift?" And they're like throwing rocks at us and stuff, and we're just like, "Oh man, this is getting out of hand." And so after a few weeks, even, you know, 2 weeks down the road, we would still get people to come up to us and say, "Where's my gift? Where's my gift?" And so what I started to do is before they even said that, I would go up to them and say, "Where's my gift? Where's my gift?" And that didn't really work too well, but I tried. Anyway, so you have this picture of the whole city gathering in this house. Jesus is healing all these people. He's casting out demons. And he's doing this for a long time. It says they started right around sundown. But then it said in verse 35, "And rising very early in the morning while it was still dark." So you have all this stuff happening in this house. And then Jesus, before it's morning, he says, "I'm going. See you guys later. Like, I know the whole city's here. I know they need a lot of help, but I'm heading out." And so where did he go? He went to a desolate place. That shows us that if the Son of God, Jesus Christ, needed time to be alone with his Father, and he is perfect, He is sinless. How much more do we need that? Who are we to say, oh, God, I got this. Like, you know, the whole city's here, and they need my help. Like, let me stay here and help them, and, you know, let me do that. If anyone could say that, it would be Jesus, and it'd be okay. But not even Jesus said that. Not even Jesus did that. And what did he do? He went out into a desolate place. He left. He said, see you later, guys. Like, I need to be alone with my Father. And so I want to ask you guys this. How much of your life is given into seeking him? You know, you think about missions, you think about going, and you think about, okay, how can I be most effective in this capacity, or who can I, you know, reach in this way? But how often do we just sit down with God and say, God, I want to know you? How often do we just seek him? Be alone. Get away from all the craziness, even though they need to hear the gospel. You're going to be more effective if you spend time with God. If you seek God, if you seek to know God. I always say it's really hard to make someone known who you don't really know. Maybe you know some facts about them, but people can see through that. It's really easy. They go, Jesus sees the Son of God. He died for your sins on the cross. And these things are so true, and they're awesome. But it's just facts for this person. God uses that. But when you know him, when you know Jesus, when you know God, in that personal time, it's so much easier to share. It's such more of a joy and of a freedom to share. You know, certain people, they talk about like this desolate place. In Matthew 6:6, it talks about going into this room in secret, and kind of like a translation would be like a prayer closet. And so certain people are like, okay, how can I just get away from distraction, from the world, from everything, and just be alone with God? Certain people, they'll go into their car. I know a few people that do that. Or they have a specific room in the house where they know that I can have my alone time. Or they go into a library in the back room when no one's out there. I heard of a preacher who literally, like, he prayed in his closet. he took out all his clothes, all his shoes, all that, and he prayed in his closet. And he's just like, I want to know God. And so that challenged me. And so I cleaned out my closet. I was living with my parents, and I was like, all right, I'm cleaning out my closet. And what I want to do was, I just want to get away. And I just want to be with God. And I wasn't praying for Niger. I wasn't praying for my family. I wasn't praying for the church. I was truly desiring to know God. I had seen God's power work in lives before, but I hadn't seen it in my own life. And I wanted that. So I said, God, I want to know you. I need to know you. And so I'd set times where I'd be like, God, please, you said that if I seek you, I will find you. That's what you said. And so that's what I'm doing. And he blesses that. And oh man, you get to enjoy the intimacy with God and with Christ. And it's so good. You know how it says, taste and see that the Lord is good? Like, you can literally, like, just enjoy Christ. Like, there's so much of him that we need to know. And then through that time when we get to be with God, he's slowly, slowly starting to make us look more like him. You know, when Moses came off the mountain, he met with God, he came off the mountain, his face was glowing because he had been in the presence of God. So he had to put a veil over his face. You know, when you're alone with God, like, your face won't be glowing physically. Maybe, well, I don't know. But you'll start to look more like him. And people, that's what they need. They need to see Christ in you. You know, we want people to look at our good deeds and glorify our Father. You know, another thing about Jesus being alone with his Father, it showed him, it wasn't that he needed this strength, because he was the Son of God, but he just desired to be with his Father. Like, he had this relationship with him that he just wanted to be with him. How often in our lives is it such a struggle to be with God? All right, God, here we go. I gotta be with you. Keeping time. This is awesome. All right, see ya. And it's just like a thing you do. But how often is it just like a joy? Like, God, oh man, you just showed me like awesome things today. And like that person completely was transformed by your power. And like it is awesome. And you're just enjoying him. You're enjoying his promises. You're holding to his promises. And so out of that time of knowing him, first things are first, you need to know him. That is key. That is essential. You need to know him. And then through that will flow out this passion to go and to make him known among all the nations. And you know, just because you go across the sea or to a different country does not make you a missionary. Like, if you're not doing anything right now, like, don't even think about going somewhere else. You need to be plugged in now. You need to be into what God's doing now and allowing God to use you now. And then that will lead you out, and that will lead you to a further place. One thing that I had learned was I always felt like if I shared the gospel, if I was doing evangelism, God would be pleased with me. He would accept me. And so when I shared my faith with someone, I felt a sense of, oh man, God's happy with me now. And then on the flip side, if I had gone a few days and I wasn't quite sharing the gospel like I knew I should, then I started feeling like God, like, he started getting a little angry with me and like displeased with me. And, you know, I kind of felt like this condemnation. One thing I realized is that what Jesus did on the cross, when he said it is finished, the work is finished. Like, he doesn't need us. We have the privilege. We're invited into this thing to share in God's sufferings, to share in this awesome kingdom, to share into what God's doing, and to display that. We have the privilege of that, to be invited into that. And so when Christ said it is finished, like, the work is done. It says that we have been justified by his blood. Nowhere does that say that you have been justified by going and sharing the gospel with someone. You have been justified by his blood. That word justified means you are perfect. You are made right in God's eyes. Yeah, get that. That's crazy, right? Like, God sees you, and he sees no fault in you. Like, what? Like, no, that doesn't make sense. Like, I know who I am. I'm a sinner. I just did this sin, and, like, God hates sin. Yeah, God hates sin so much that he killed his own son, that his own son bore our sin for us, that his blood was shed, and through his blood, now we are made the righteousness of God. We are now standing in front of God unashamed. Like, we are completely perfect and made new, not by what you did or what you didn't do, but by the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so when that is your passion and when that is controlling you, like, you just want to go. It's not something that you have to do. Like, we now have the freedom to do this. Like, if you don't share the gospel with someone in the next year, God still accepts you and loves you because of what Christ did, not because of what you're doing. And when we get that truth in our hearts, in our lives, that's going to move us to share the gospel. That's going to move us to go overseas to a place that we have no idea who's over there or what we're going to do, but we just have this love for Jesus and we want to share it. This message of hope that people can be set free from their sin, from the power of sin. And so we have this privilege and this invitation to do that now. How awesome is that? And so we see Jesus. If we can look at anyone in history, Jesus is the ultimate example. And Jesus knew the importance with spending time with God, with his Father. And so we need to do the same thing. Even Paul, I'll close with this. Paul, the Apostle Paul, people are like, dude, he is the best missionary ever. Like, he was tortured for Christ. He was shipwrecked. He saw a snake bit him and, like, didn't kill him. Like, Paul is the man, right? Even Paul said, I worked harder than any of these apostles. But I am what I am by the grace of God. He realized that it had nothing to do with him. It was God using him, and it was God's power flowing out of him. And so, guys, God can use you. He can use every single one of you, and it has nothing to do with you. God's going to do it, and he invites us in. Are you willing to join? Do you want to join? Do you have that intimacy with Christ that you just want to give it out? I hope you do. I'm going to close in prayer. And I just want to invite anyone who may have, during this time, the Holy Spirit start working in your heart. Maybe you're like, I don't really know Christ like I should. I don't really have that deep intimacy with Christ. And I know I want that. If that's going in your heart right now, come on up and pray with someone. Pray with one of the pastors. Share with them, guys, I don't have that burning desire like I used to. Or I just never had that desire. Share it with them. Pray with us. And if you also want to be a part of something that God's doing, you want to join in, hey, how can I be used? You know, we would pray over you guys, that the Holy Spirit would empower you guys, and that God's grace would pour out on you guys. All right, I'm going to close in prayer. Oh, Father, we thank you so much that we have this intimate relationship with you. And we know that that came at a cost, that before we were enemies, that we were considered lost, that we were God's wrath upon us. That's who we are. There's nothing good in us. But now we have this relationship with you because of your Son. We give you thanks, Lord Jesus. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for completely forgiving us of all of our sin. Lord, it says that glorious thought that my sin was nailed to the cross, not in part, but the whole, and I bear it no more. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for bearing my punishment, for bearing my sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that I can now have this relationship with you, and that I can get to know you and love you and make you known and see your power worked out in our lives. God, I pray for everyone here today. I pray that you burn a desire within them to know you more, to be with you, to forget the distractions of the world and just to be with you, to have that time with you, and that you would show your glory to them, that you would show your power to them and your love. God, I pray that these youth and everyone here would understand that and would love you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are so good to us, and we give you all the praise and all the glory because it's you who are doing it. We pray this in Jesus' name.